Would you go ahead and be seated, and would you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Would you also find, if you want to find in your Bibles, you can find James chapter 3 and Proverbs chapter 2. We'll get to those a little later today. Today is part 2 on a series called The Table of Demons, and I'm going to talk to you today about demonic wisdom. First of all, I want you to understand, we at Church of Grace believe that the Bible is our guidance for life. It is the manual that God has given us to dictate our life, to live our life by, and to control us in the sense of guidance and direction and freedom from oppression and evil. Also, I want you to understand that the Word of God has been designed by God. Now, for centuries, for thousands of years, God has got His people gathered together on a weekly basis, hear the reading of Scripture or the preaching of Scripture and the singing of songs. God has been doing this for thousands of years. Still today, He wants us to sing songs to Him. He wants us to hear the Word of God. He wants the reading of Scripture. He wants us to know what the Bible says, and that's His plan, and it hasn't changed, and it's for our good. God wants us to gather together as a community, as a family, as a body. And so as we do, we overcome the table of demons, we overcome demonic spirits, we overcome demonic wisdom. So as we, here is our scripture, and it is stuck. So I will do my best. Will you write? Good. Okay. Here's our scripture for today that we're using as our foundation for this series, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Now, the reason I'm talking to you in this series about demons, the reason I'm talking to you in this series about the cup of the Lord, the table of the Lord, the cup of demons, the table of demons, because it's in the Bible, and the Bible is trying to communicate to us that you're facing demonic problems every day. A lot of people think that if it's a demon or demon in activity, that it's going to look obvious. It's going to look evil. It's going to have horns. It's going to be... Demons come at you looking beautiful. The book of Proverbs in chapter 5 and chapter 6 is a warning to all young men about the woman who wants to rip you of life and take your possessions by using her body to attract you. Now, if her body isn't attracting to you, then it's obvious. If it looked like a demon, if it looked like Hollywood demonic power, if it opened its mouth, you know how all movies have the same sound for aliens, and same sound for dinosaurs, can't go there. But I want you to know that demonic temptation, trials, and pressure could look very attractive to you. It could be a shiny new car. It could be a purse, golf clubs. Could be a person that looks innocent. There's a lot of people that physically are attractive, but inside their heart can be very, very evil. And you need to know the difference. You need to be able to discern the difference. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, God says this to all of us. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. If you follow God's way, you will bless your children to the fourth generation. You'll bless your children and your children's children. Every time something happens good in my children's life, I tell them it's because I was a tither for many, many years. I said, you're receiving an inheritance. God wants you to have, could you imagine this, if each generation got more spiritual, and more spiritual. You ever heard of the name Rick Warren? He was the senior pastor, he's retired, of Saddleback Church. He went to Saddleback, he came to Orange County, started a church and turned it into a massive, massive mega church. Are you aware he's a fourth generation minister? Fourth generation. because family decided to pass the faith on. Shouldn't each generation go further? Now, Pastor Josh is not my son, naturally. His mom and dad are in this building. But I have adopted him as a spiritual son. He's my Timothy. And I fully believe and expect him to go further than I've ever gone in my 45 years of being a pastor. He will go further. I'm a first generation preacher. So I look at him as being my second generation. And that it's going to go more than the first generation, because your descendants may live. Both you and your descendants will have a blessing. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, here's where we left off, or here's where we're studying. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. Okay, so if you think you're spiritual and you think you're wise, you think you know a lot of stuff, then let's listen to what Paul's going to say in chapter 10. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? I put certain words in a color, in this brownish color, at least that's what it says in the app, because I want to highlight those words and I'm going to talk to you about them. And I want you to understand. But here's what Paul starts to teach us about communion. And this sets us up for the next chapter. Chapter 11 is going to go, we're going to do a deep dive in communion and learn some things that we've never seen before, because we haven't looked at it in this way, that Paul is putting communion in a chapter that he's talking about demons. And he says this, the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing is the cup that you take at communion. We use white grape juice. One, because there are people who have an alcoholic background and they don't want anything to do whatsoever with alcohol. I have a son who's his physical body is easily addicted to almost anything. And he told me, then I have another son who he's now sober for many years, but he had an alcoholic problem. He told me he could not even rinse his mouth out with mouthwash that had a little bit of alcohol in it. Couldn't have it. So we don't serve wine in the cup because we don't know who's in our audience. Number two, the reason we use white grape juice, it stains less than purple grape juice. That's just smart. You know, purple grape juice is hard to get out of the carpet and stuff. But that cup, what we're using here, that cup, that white grape juice, that cup is to be blessed at the time of receiving. And Paul calls it the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break and we eat that piece of bread during communion, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The word blessing means to ask God to bestow divine favor on. So when the cup is held or the bread is held and we bless it, we receive it from the Lord, blessed of the Lord, it is divine favor. What favor is it? The word communion means communicate, communication, communion, contribution, fellowship. In fact, all of these fit in this little tiny word, communion. And literally what it's saying is, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not, listen to this, the contribution and fellowship and the message or the communication of the blood of Christ? Is not the blood of Christ saying something and contributing something to you? And then the bread which we break, is it not the communion or the communication or the contribution or the fellowship of the body of Christ? So the body is contributing something to you. The blood is contributing something to you. And the whole purpose of communion is to partake of the Lord. And then he says that you are of the body of Christ. Now, verse 17 says this, because I'm going to come back to the cup in just a couple of verses. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Okay, now this is, okay, open your mind and open your spiritual heart to hear truth that could literally change your life. And Paul now says, we are one body, but we're also one bread, partaking of the one bread. What in the world does that mean? You can't understand it until you go to the next verse. Observe, observe. What does the word observe mean? It's not a trick question. Look, watch, learn from. Observe Israel. Listen to this. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? This Bible verse is huge spiritual truth that simply says this. You, the body of Christ, verse 17, that are one bread and one body, look at the nation of Israel, who received blessing from the altar were the priests. The priests actually ate the meat that was brought in by the people and offered to the Lord as a sacrifice. They got to take the meat home. They partook of the altar as a type of Christ. And he's telling us that we partake of the one bread, and the one bread is the altar of Jesus, and the communication or the message of the bread, which is the body, the partaking of it is also bringing, let's go back to understand the communion. It is communion, contribution, and fellowship. What is the body of Christ contributing to you that you're partaking of? Health, healing, provision. Promises that he will take care of you in this life. What is the blood of Jesus contributing, and what is it communicating? What is it saying that when you take that cup, it is declaring that you are free of sin, that you have been delivered, that you are in the body of Christ. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? The answer is yes. You partake of the altar. You are supposed to receive the blessing. The blessing of the body of Christ is to bring healing into your life. Then we go to verse 19. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. This word fellowship means partner with, partake from. And so what you need to observe and understand is Paul is literally declaring to us, I do not want you to partake with demons, which this is the contrast to partaking. I do want you to partake with the Lord. For you to take the cup, or to eat the bread and deny the communication, the message that those two things are making, or its contribution to your life, would be taking the communion in the wrong fashion. And Paul tells us in the next chapter, some people are sick because of it and died, because they're not acknowledging the purpose of the communion, of what is happening. But now he says, don't partake with demons, partake with the Lord. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons, or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? The word cup, okay, this is a unique, I love to study. I love to do word studies. When I'm reading the Bible and I'm preparing for a message, or I'm looking at scripture, there will be words that just kind of highlight themselves and come off the page in my mind. And that's the one I know. I need to go find out what that means. And I'll research and I'll look things up. Sometimes I'll spend 3 hours on one word, just reading about that word, reading about it, where it is from the time that Paul wrote, how it was used in Greek language and secular writings, how it was used in any kind of scriptural or spiritual writings. And I really enjoyed the word cup. Here's what I found out about the word cup. Very, very basic. It was, you have a stranger coming over to your house and the person you're going to entertain. You haven't met the people yet. Maybe you have, but there's someone you're going to host, and you offer them the cup. And the cup was nothing but a glass of water. The simplest, most basic need of life. It's a cup of water. But it was a symbol of refreshing people and being a refreshing and being a refreshment. And when Paul used this word cup, he is referring to you being refreshed and you having the very basic needs met by the Lord. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. The cup is where you get, it's where we get our drink of water from. It's what refreshes us in life. What is the basic foundation of our life and the strength of our life and the refreshing of our life? And if it's doctrines of demon, then you are one that is hounded by fear frequently. If it's the cup of the Lord and the table of the Lord, then you are partaking of the table in front of your enemies. You are partaking of the word of God, the things of God, and resting in the promises of God and knowing that God is going to be in control. The word table means eating your daily bread or the ways and words of life, you living life. It's referring to where does your bread come from? You cannot drink the cup, the refreshment of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table, the way of life, walking in the things of God and the table of demons. He's telling you, you will not live a healthy, prosperous life if you are double-minded. If you are thinking, I can keep these things in my life, but yet it's against the word of God and against your heart and against the things that the Lord is trying to bring, then you cannot say, I'm going to go ahead and feast at the table. You know what? All of us are eating something from the table of demons. And the table of demons looks really different at different times of society in different places. For an example, and please listen very close because I'm not saying something to hurt you emotionally. I want to preach the word of God to set you free. The truth will set you free. We as a nation have bought in and accepted and legalized and made it to the point that we are trying to legalize it even further, and that is human sacrifice through the act of abortion. If you have had an abortion, God is the one that can forgive, build up, strengthen, and allow you to go into the future guilt-free. He's the healer. But we as a nation have said in some states, you can take the child up to the day that it's born. I'm sorry, but it's doctrines of demons. It's human sacrifice. We have bought it as a way to have more sex without penalty. And the reason that there's such a promotion for abortion is it leads to destroying the family nucleus, the family unit. There's over 60 million people have been aborted in the United States since it was legalized through Roe versus Wade. Over 60 million. How many of them were prophets, evangelists, pastors, school teachers, Navy officers, firemen? How many? We won't know until we go to heaven. Every one of them are in heaven. Every single one of them. And I'm not being political at all. I'm being spiritual. I'm not taking a position in a political way. I'm just telling you, God is the author of life. But the problem is, when we follow the table of demons, when we drink of the cup of demons, we eat of the table of demons, we end up with a society that is further and further and further from God. And that's just the beginning. In James chapter 3, I ask you to go to James, and I love it when you have your Bibles open, you can write on a couple of things, and so when you read it later, you will remember it. Beginning in verse 13, it says this: Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The word conduct is to conduct oneself with apparent focus upon overt daily behavior or to live. The New Testament was written mostly in Greek. So the original language of, or the original language of the letters in the New Testament are going to be Greek. And so you need to go to the Greek language to understand and then translate that to English. Old Testament written in Hebrew. So you have to be a student of Hebrew and a student of Greek in order to do any kind of word studies. And in this situation, and I like, as I said earlier, I like word studies to make something pop. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by how he lives, how he lives. This word conduct is simply the very basic of life. What energizes my life? Where does my life decisions come from? You know, are my life decisions coming from the table of the Lord or the table of demons? Am I following the doctrine of demons or am I following the doctrine of Jesus Christ? So that's what the word conduct means. And then is let his works, that his works are done in meekness. And for whatever reason, people, I don't know why, people think that the word meekness means that they're weak. Just because it rhymes doesn't mean they're the same. They're not synonyms. Weakness and meekness are very, 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 very different. And meekness, this Greek word for meekness means that you will submit the ways to the ways of the Lord. The word meekness means that you will bow your knee to the greater wisdom, and the greater wisdom is the table of the Lord. The word meekness means that you are submissive, that you are teachable, that you are leadable. You can be led. You can be led. You will never be led by the Holy Spirit. You will never walk in the Spirit if you are not meek. And the word meekness is reference to that you know there's a creator and he's smarter than you. Meekness means you're teachable. And verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. So let's pause before we pop up the next verse. Do you have any bitter envy? Are you envious over things? Are you envious of other people? Do you want what other people have? Do you find that you lust after stuff that you don't have but someone else has? Do you get angry? Do you get upset? Do you feel aggravated, agitated when someone has something that you don't and you wish you did? If you did, then you are envy. You have bitter envy and you're self-seeking. If it's planted in your heart, he said, don't boast about it and don't lie against the truth. This wisdom, this kind of wisdom, this self-seeking envy does not descend from above, not from heaven. It is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So what we're literally saying is for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Are you self-absorbed? If you are, you're following demonic doctrine. You're eating of the table of demons. Pastor, can a Christian eat at the table of demons? Absolutely. Yes. They do it every day, all the time. They buy into the doctrine of demonic activity and we call it socialism or we call it social behavior or we call it social studies in college now. This is a wonderful hanky waving sermon right now. Verse 17, but, now we're going to do a deep dive in this verse. But the wisdom that is from above, God's wisdom, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we're going to look at each one of these. First of all, the word pure means used to describe a virgin. James takes the word that would describe a bride after the wedding ceremony, going into her bedchamber or honeymoon with her new husband, her groom, and she is pure and only his. The wisdom from above is designed by God for you. It is for you and your life situation and the things that you're facing in life. God will put together a plan for you. God will put together a rescue for you. God will help you do your job, your life, your things. God will make sure that you have pure, unadulterated wisdom to help you financially, physically, emotionally, relationally. God will give you fresh, new wisdom for you. This wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable. And the word peaceable means freedom from anxiety and inner turmoil. God will give you a wisdom that will lead you into a place where you rest in Him and you don't have to wrestle inside. Then we take the same verse, go to the next few phrases. Gentle. The word gentle, not to speak evil of anyone, nor to be quarrelsome, but to be forbearing. The wisdom from above is not going to fill your heart, and you're going to look at someone else and speak evil of them. You're going to walk in gentleness and willing to yield. You don't have to have your way. When you are walking in the wisdom from above, you're not demanding it's always my way. I'm always right. That's a demonic doctrine. That's a table of demons. First of all, the only one that's always right is God. He's always right. And He said, you're not always right. So He's right and you're not. Full of mercy, the phrase full of mercy, to show kindness or concern for someone in serious need, to show mercy, be merciful toward others. Not look at somebody and say, to be merciful, kind, help people. And then we go to the next phrase, couple of phrases, good fruits. This word, this wisdom will provide you with good results. And the phrase without partiality is a Greek phrase that means this wisdom does not disqualify anyone, particularly what we're referring to, that you are not looking at your wisdom and your life experiences keep you away from another group of people. You're looking at your life, your wisdom that God has given you as an example that others, if God did this for me, He can do it for you. And then without hypocrisy. One without hypocrisy or pretense, honest, genuine, real, true, sincere. In other words, the wisdom from above doesn't make you a hypocrite. It makes you a place in the body of Christ that is helping the body of Christ be alive. You're being sincere. You're being genuine. We go back to the cup. You have the cup of the Lord, which is the cup of water, the refreshing that comes into your life. And in this refreshment, you find the bread as well that is provision for life. And that bread leads you to the wisdom of God. You must, it is bigger, bolder, because it's very important. You must read the Bible to receive and live in God's wisdom. If you're not reading scripture, if you're not reading the Bible, if the only time you ever pick up the Bible is you come to church or you don't even pick it up because we put it up here for you, you are missing out on God's wisdom. You need to read your Bible. How often do you need? That's going to be between you and the Lord. Some people need to be reading it 3 times a day or 7 times a day, like Pastor Josh talked about the monks that would go and pray. Others, it's not going to be that. You're different times, different seasons, different people, different places. How do you seek the wisdom of God? For an example, for the past two years, I have a little, it's an old phone. I don't use it as a phone. I use it as a MP3 player. And I have the Bible on it, and I have a little tiny speaker, and I set it up for 30 minutes. And when I lay my head down on the pillow, I turn this on, and it's reading me scripture for 30 minutes. And within that 30 minutes, I'm asleep. I'm probably asleep within the first 5 minutes, but I still have it going inside me, and I get to hear it. And I have been, for the last 2 years, in the book of 1 Corinthians, just repeats. The last three months, just chapter 10. I listen to chapter 10 every single night. And it's on a repeat, so once it's done, it will repeat for 30 minutes. Why? Because I need his wisdom. I need to understand it. I'm laying there at night and hearing the person reading this. I thought, oh, I didn't see that like that before. God is setting a table in front of you. And it's found in Psalms 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me, a table, the table of the Lord. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The anointing your head with oil means that it's a Hebrew term. It means your bones are fat. It means you're healthy. You're strong. You're good. God wants you to walk in his wisdom. So real quick, go through Proverbs. I'm doing pretty good. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. This is scripture. This is the word of God. When you read the Bible, this happens. This brings you the table of the Lord. This brings you the cup of the Lord. In verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Equity is a big word right now. What does it mean spiritually? We know what it means secular-wise, and I'll give you a definition of that. But let's look at the spiritual definition of equity first. Equity, the Hebrew word for equity here found in Proverbs, is the quality of being able to make judgments free from discrimination or dishonesty. Wouldn't you love if politicians actually did that? Equity is the ability to make a decision free from discrimination or dishonesty. You are living your life in equity when we are following the instructions of wisdom. Receiving the word of God will produce this in our life. Today, equity means taking away from people we perceive to have more than we do and giving it to people we perceive to have less than we do. This will show how virtuous we are today, spiritually. There's a big difference. That was a little political, I guess. But anyway, back to verse 4. To give prudence to the simple. Okay, God's wisdom wants to help people be smart. Make right choices. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. This is the table of the Lord. This is the cup of the Lord. This, if you are eating at the table of the Lord, you are getting wisdom from the word of God. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Back to verse 6. Here's the issue that you face every day in your life. Every day in your life, you have proverbs, enigmas, you have riddles, you have problems you are trying to solve. I mean, the biggest riddle that's got to be solved every Sunday by a family with small kids is where's the other sock? Yes. Or where's the other shoe? It was so bad when our kids were real little that on Saturday night, we just got the shoes and put them by the door. There are demons that all they do is move shoes to get you late to church and get you upset and have you argue on the way to church. There are more marriage arguments in tension in the car on the way to worship. We're going to worship and we can't stand each other. We're going to worship and we're going to go in two cars from now on. Oh, am I right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 2, look what it says here. We'll go real quick because we're going to end with this. My son, if you receive my words, and this word for receive has to do accept them. Do you accept them? I am shocked at the American Christian who believes they actually get to choose which scriptures they will obey. Where'd you get that? Are you greater than he? That is demonic doctrine. You go outside the United States, and you'll find Christians devouring the Bible and doing their best to follow it. It's a heart issue. But we, entitled people, and it all began with everybody, every kid get a trophy. That's our problem today. When I was in Little League, not every kid got a trophy. First place got a big one. Second place got a smaller one. Not all these, anyway. Verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. When you receive the word of God, when you receive it, God's word, and treasure the commandments of God, you treasure them, you value them, you think these are important and I should do what they say. I should hold them dear to me. Jesus talks about when he gives a parable or a story when somebody loses one coin in the house and they tear all the house apart to find that coin and gives that kind of in a couple of different ways. And he says, you need to go after the word of God that way, the things of the spirit that way, your life, your community of spiritual relationships that way, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. You have to hear the word of God that you recognize it, you start to see it in action in everyday life. Verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. This is also the wisdom of God. This is the way of God for your life. You'll be feasting at the table of the Lord, drinking from the cup of the Lord, and you will begin to discern and understand. You will know what is the cup of the devil and what is the cup of the Lord. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. And if you continue to read this chapter, you'll find blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing that God wants in your life because you sought his will and his way. I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to tell you a tiny preview of the next episode of part 3. The next time I'm in the pulpit, I get to do part 3. I want to talk to you about the voices in your head. Where do those voices come from? How do you know what voice is you, which voice is demons, which voice is God, which voice is the Holy Spirit? I'll talk to you about the voices inside your head and how God wants you to hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow, which means you hear voices. Every one of us hears voices in our head, and they conflict, and there's a battle. I'm going to talk to you about it, and you're going to be surprised about the things I'm going to share with you on those voices and how they relate to the cup of demons, the table of demons, the cup of the Lord, and the table of the Lord. This is for you to be able to drink and eat at the proper table and be able to start to discern which cup and which food is being offered to you that's not of God. But you need to be a student of the Bible. You need to have some kind of reading program. You need to have some way of going through the scriptures. You need to have some way of deciding what it is you want. Maybe God has you in one book like I am for a couple of years. Maybe God has you in just the Gospels. Maybe you feel led to read only the letters of Paul. You know, it doesn't matter. There is no rules because everyone's different and needs to be led by the Spirit. So I encourage you to open this wonderful book and start reading and start finding more and more life. And you said, okay, I don't know where to start. Then go to our website, churchofgrace.com, and enroll in BOLD. And start there, because we have put together a systematic program to get you to grow in the things of God. Did you learn something today? Could we give the Lord a hand?